Good morning. My name is Lisa, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE investor call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Von Lehe, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. This is Peter Von Lehe and John Boozer from Neuberger Berman, and welcome to the NBPE Investor Update Call. The presentation we'll be using today can be found on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. It's been a tumultuous few days in the markets, so we'll attempt to be a bit briefer today to be respectful of your time. We're going to focus today on the latest developments in NBPE and how we are addressing the current market environment. So turning to page three of the presentation, we've had a very solid first 7 months of the year. Through the end of July, our NAV per share cumulative total return was 5.5%, and our share price cumulative total return was 8%. We continue to show strong performance over the short, medium, and long term. Our annualized dividend yield is 4.2% on stock price or 3.5% on NAV, and our dividend is 108% covered. And if you look at our balance sheet, which remains very strong, we have total assets of $886 million, a NAV of $704 million, or a NAV per share of $14.44. And our adjusted commitment coverage ratio is 151%. By the way, all these numbers are as of the end of July, as will all the numbers be that, unless otherwise noted, that John or I mentioned today. So as you know, we focus on investing in the equity and debt of private equity-backed companies. And as you can see on page five of the presentation, 76% of our portfolio, or 92% of our NAV, is invested in direct investments. That's 43% in equity investments, 33% in income investments. Now, the mix of equity and income investments will continue to vary over time based on our bottoms-up investment selection, where we're finding the best opportunities at any given point in time, as well as the realizations we're having out of our portfolio. But we do continue to expect to have a meaningful share of both equity investments and income investments in our portfolio to offer investors the opportunity for both capital appreciation and income. So in the interest of time, as I mentioned, let's perhaps skip to page eight of the presentation. And at least until the recent market correction, we have continued to see a strong upward movement in public market multiples. Interestingly, though, while we have seen the purchase price multiples continue to rise in private equity markets as well, they remain a material discount to public market multiples in the U.S. In fact, the differential between public market multiples and private market multiples has not been this wide in a very long time. So accordingly, for investors who are looking for U.S. equity exposure, private equity as an asset class still offers a strong relative value. Now, that having been said, prices are still higher in private markets than they were a few years ago, and private equity is a highly competitive business. So accordingly, what our approach is to try to see every opportunity that we possibly can, but be highly selective about which of the transactions that we actually do. Now, one thing to note, is that, if you look at just the data there, private equity deals in the first half of this year, on average, new transactions were done at 10.1 times EBITDA, while public equity multiples were into the high teens. As John will mention, our portfolio is being held at lower valuations than the average new buyout in the U.S., despite the fact that we've had very strong revenue and EBITDA growth across our portfolio. And as I say, John will go into that in more detail in a few minutes. Now, also important to note that our strategy is unique among the listed direct private equity vehicles. So we invest directly into companies with just a single layer of fees in our direct investments, but we do so alongside a broad range of different top-tier private equity firms, utilizing our managers, or Neuberger Berman's, relationships with hundreds of different private equity firms to cast a very wide net, but to find that select number of investments that we will actually deploy the capital of NBP into. So let's now go in and look a bit about what we're doing on the more the income side of our portfolio. So our approach there is actually very similar. We once again try to see the broadest range of opportunities possible, but invest very selectively. We believe we have a significant advantage over others in the direct lending and private credit businesses, given our strong sourcing and information advantages that we have through our relationships with those hundreds of private equity firms around the world. Now, we continue to be highly selective in the credits we invest in, and increasingly, one of the things that we're taking advantage of is market volatility, where what we're doing is actually using those information and sourcing advantages to purchase illiquid debt on the secondary market in private equity-backed businesses, where we believe we can be more than fairly compensated for the risk that we're taking. Now, another thing to note about having that element of our portfolio, in addition to being able to provide the income to support our covered dividend, it's also very defensive. So we're investing into the debt of private equity-backed companies, but by investing in the debt rather than the equity, we're more senior in the capital structure, the capital structures of those businesses, which we believe should go and provide us with more downside protection, as I say, in addition to income. Now, you can also see the credit quality of our portfolio coming through in the relatively large number of refinancings that we've been having out of our portfolio, as John will touch on when he talks about some of our realization activity. If you look, turn to page 11, you can see that this approach has led to our strong investment performance. NBP has performed well over the short, medium, and long term. Over the last 12 months, our NAV total return was 12.4%, and our share price total return was 13.6%, and once again through the end of July. And we also continue to use our contractual income to pay our covered dividend to shareholders. And the numbers there are on page 12. Our income portfolio has a 9.9% cash yield or a 10.3% total yield, and this allows us to have our dividend be 108% covered by the cash income we get from our income portfolio. And this just allows us to pay our dividend, which on an annualized basis is 4.2% on share price, or 3.5% on NAV. Now, turning to page 13, you can see where we are in terms of discount. The shares at the end of July were trading at a 17.5% discount to NAV. Now, if you now take MBPE and compare it to a component's parts, you compare the income portion of our portfolio, the income funds, direct portion of our portfolio to direct private equity, and the legacy fund portfolio, the smaller portion of this legacy funds to fund the funds, you can see that we traded a wider discount than we should on a sum of the parts basis, and especially given the strong NAV performance that we've been able to generate. Now, one thing to just note about this chart is we frankly are being tougher on ourselves than you can see on most of the broker comp sheets, because we're excluding from the comps here certain of the vehicles that trade at relatively wide discounts. But still, we believe that we continue to take efforts here to go and narrow the discount and really, though, focus on continuing to have a very high-quality portfolio that period after period can generate gains and income for our investors. That's clearly our goal. I'd like to turn it over to John, who will give you a bit more of the details on what's going on inside of our portfolio. John?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. And so if you move on to page 15, we can get some high-level balance sheet numbers. If you go to the very top, the top six lines of this chart show the makeup of our assets. And the top lines, the legacy fund investments, as you know, we've been moving really since 2010 to a portfolio made up of direct and co-investments, both income and equity. And you see our legacy fund investments continue to liquidate. They've gone from $228 million of value down to $209 million of value as of the end of July from the first of the year. And there's $30 million of distributions that have been generated by that beginning balance of 227.8 at the first of this year. So 13% cash return on that balance since the first of the year. You see our direct and co-investments vary from time to time, as Peter said, with realizations and as we make new investments. And we continue to look for new investments both on the income and the equity side. But overall, our direct and co-investments have grown from $613 million at the start of the year to $645 million. We're very well invested at this point. And you see our private equity investment levels, 121%, so we have the capital at work. And if you move to the bottom of the chart, at the very last line, you'll see the change in our net asset value since the first of the year from $15.10 to $15.78, or 68 cents of appreciation in the net asset value. 48 cents of that either paid or about to be paid as dividends, and 20 cents remaining inside the company, causing the net asset value to go up from 1424 to 1444. If you flip on to page 16, you'll see some of the diversification by fair value. And again, the upper left, you'll see that the equity direct investments and the direct income investments are now making up 76% of the portfolio. You'll also see we continue to be overweighted strategically to North America, as we feel there's less risk in a portfolio built there, and I think we're being rewarded for that. You see on the left, lower left, that we're very diversified by industry, and on the lower right, I think this is a pie chart that shows really the health of our portfolio. If you add up what's been done in the first half of 2015, which is 14% of our net asset value, of 2015, I should say, all of 2014 and all of 2013, just in the last 30 months, it's 61% of our net asset value represents new invested capital into new companies. It's very important in private equity to have your portfolio continue to turn over, because companies that linger for a very long time very often are the ones that are having problems. As Peter said, in the income area, if you're not getting refinancings, it's likely that your portfolio is slightly less healthy than more healthy if you are getting lots of refinancing. So you can see we're down to just 17% of 2008 and earlier funds in that year of investment, and we'll see one of those investments is doing very well for us in realizations right now. Moving on to page 17 is a summary of our capital position. Our cash balance of $25 million plus our available credit facility of $120 million gives us $145 million of available resources. You compare that to the bottom half of this chart, which is our unfunded commitments adjusted for items that are very unlikely to be called from older funds, and we only have $96.3 million of those. So we are 151% covered with our capital resources over the amounts of unfunded commitments that we have. So we maintain a very strong capital position. Page 18 goes through our quarterly cash flows. And again, being private equity, they're somewhat episodic. But you see Q2 and July, the first month of Q3, have been very significant, both on the contribution side, where we're making investments and distributions, $140.5 million coming back. And if you look at the line at the top of the chart, it notes that we've received 177.9 in distributions since the start of this year. And if you go back to what our January 1st fair value was at the start of the year, that represents, again, 21% of our portfolio has been realized in cash during the year. And that, again, shows a very healthy portfolio with companies coming in and out of the portfolio. Peter mentioned that we'd cover just a few of the realization events, and the next few pages do that for both equity and income investments. So if you look at page 19, we've had significant equity realizations. We've received $39.4 million of distributions from equity co-investment liquidity events during 2015. Two of those are highlighted at the bottom of the page. The first one is Blue Coat. Blue Coat was fully realized in June of 2015 on a sale of the company. And that was an investment that we made in February of 2012, so a little over 3 years from start to completion at a very, very nice multiple for NBPE. A different example is Sabre. Sabre has been realized. It's public now, and the stock is being sold strategically. And so during January through May of this year, we realized $8.9 million in proceeds. And even after that, the company, because of its growth and value, continues to represent 4.2% of our NBPE NAV. That company was originally invested in March of 2007. So that's a big part of our older holdings, the 2008 before that we described earlier, and those are public shares that will be realized over time. We've also been busy investing during the first part of the year. During the first part of the year, we funded 11 new equity investments for a total of $61.4 million. We mentioned a couple of these new ones from June of 2015. PetSmart is in the U.S. the largest specialty pet retailer, so you go for whatever needs you have for your pet during the entire lifetime of your pet. And then Standard Aero is a provider of aftermarket maintenance, repair, and overhaul services for engines for narrow-body, regional business, military, and rotary craft. That's alongside Veritas Partners here in the U.S. Equity investments, if you go on to page 21, this is a summary of where our portfolio sits. On the right side, we have listed the top 10 equity investments, and you see just those top 10 make up 20.9% of the NBPE NAV, so good insight into where specifically the value underlying your shares lies by looking at this chart on the right. Looking at some overall equity investment characteristics on the left, it's primarily, as it always has been, buyout investments. The valuation multiple at which our buyout portfolio is held is 8.9. As you saw from the chart Peter went through earlier, that's beneath what transactions are transacting at today in the marketplace. The leverage, 4.4x on average across this portfolio. And over the trailing 12 months, the companies have done well with a revenue growth of 10.1% and EBITDA growth of almost 16%. So flipping on to the income investments, on page 22. Again, this has been we've received $108.5 million of distributions from income investments during the first 7 months of this year. Again, we have a couple examples of some of those realization events, as you see at the bottom part of this page. So start with Acroma. That was realized, and that was $18.5 million received in refinancing, so those have been active, as Peter mentioned. And then Blue Coat was a full sale of the company where we've received back $20.5 million from our debt investment there. If you look at page 23, you'll see some of the new things that have gone in the portfolio. We've been active there with 10 new investments totaling $71.4 million. A couple examples of that are Highland and Catalina that you see on the page. Highland is in the energy enterprise content management software with sponsored by Thoma Bravo, and Catalina, which we invested in May of 2015, is a provider of targeted digital ads for consumer packaged goods companies, and it's sponsored by two leading sponsors as well. Again, on 24, there's a snapshot of the overall income portfolio. In particular, you'll see, as you saw on the equity chart that looked like this, that the top 10 are listed on the right-hand side of the page, and again, gives you high visibility into a big portion of the portfolio with 22.6% of NAV represented by these top 10 investments. The portfolio characteristics, we have $281 million in 41 investments. As Peter mentioned, they have a 9.9% cash yield. 74% of the fair value is invested in floating rate debt with floors of 1 or 1.25%. I think a significant point as an investor in NBPE are the next two statistics on the left, which is the weighted average total debt in this portfolio of 4.7x, and the weighted average senior debt, that is the debt that's more senior to the generally second lien positions that we hold, of 3.5. Both these numbers are significantly less than industry averages if you look at new transactions being entered into, and by constantly having a turnover and an aging of our portfolio, after we invest, these averages tend to come down from free cash flow. So as you get a year, 2 years into the life of a debt investment, it's de-risked in terms of these statistics. That's why the overall blend of our portfolio is better than if we were just making an entire group of new investments at one moment. So that's a overview of the portfolio. Page 25 is the just summarizes our legacy fund investments. The fund portfolio is in realization mode, as we saw, and it's invested mostly in mid-cap buyout special situations funds. We have $208.6 million of fair value invested in the 35 remaining funds and received $29 million of distributions during the first 7 months. So I'll turn it back over to Peter to cover some of the higher-level information on our shares.
Thank you very much, Sean. Page 26 gives a graphical representation of some of the information that we described before in terms of our NAV development and share price development over the last 12 months. Additionally, though, in terms of trading volume, we've had 8.9 million shares traded so far year to date through July, and that creates an average daily trading volume of right around 60,000 shares. Now, page 27 is important because these were the two new plans that we put into place in connection with the most recent dividend. As you know, our goal is to be able to provide the opportunity for both capital appreciation and income for our investors, but also deliver that in a way that is most shareholder friendly. And, you know, we are a mostly U.S. Portfolio, and so the dollar is the appropriate currency for the domination of our portfolio, given that it really is dollar exposure. Having said that, we want to make the NBP as a vehicle as attractive as possible to investors, particularly UK-based investors, and some of whom are very much, some of whom are totally fine with having that U.S. dollar exposure, others of whom would actually very much want to have their dividend paid in sterling. Also, we've had investors say to us, we like the fact that you pay the dividend, but can you facilitate a way to have that easily reinvested for me so I don't have to go and do that myself each period? So in response to both of those inquiries from investors, that's exactly what we put into place. And we're happy to say that both our dividend reinvestment plan and the sterling election both showed a nice take-up, particularly for the first time that it was being offered. So in terms of our dividend reinvestment plan or DRIP, we actually had a number of shareholders either elect in full or in part, but what it means then is that 3.8 million shares have elected to have their dividends reinvested. And so that will occur at the time of when the dividend would be paid out, which is the 27th of August, so 2 days from now. That is obviously as to holders of record as of the 24th of July. Also, very importantly, was the sterling take-up. So the way this works was, obviously, while we declare and pay our dividend in dollars, for investors who would prefer to receive in sterling, we put in that accommodation feature allowing investors to check a box and elect to receive in sterling instead. Interestingly, we had 7.7% of the outstanding shares take up the sterling election. So, you know, between these two, between the dividend reinvestment plan and the sterling election, you know, a meaningful number of shareholders taking advantage of those opportunities. In particular, both the dividend reinvestment plan and the sterling election, we believe, are an important step towards making NBPE a more friendly vehicle, particularly for private wealth type investors in the UK. So with that, I'd like to just thank everyone for their time. In our view, that we continue to be very pleased with the progress of the portfolio at NBPE. Yes, it's tumultuous times. Yes, it's a difficult market environment, but we're continuing to find what we believe are attractive investment opportunities and continue to have what we believe is a very strong portfolio to continue to do well for shareholders going forward. So with that, I'd like to open it up to any questions that anyone may have.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And sir, sure there are no questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. And please feel free to contact any of us at any time with any specific questions you may have. Thanks again.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may now disconnect.